I will be reading from the book of James, chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. The reading can be found in the Pew Bible on page 1881. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you.
James is a book of pastoral exhortations. James is writing like a pastor. He's concise, to the point, but his letter reads like a sermon more than a letter. In the 108 verses in the book of James, there are some 59 commands. And James deals with many serious issues in living out the Christian life. It's filled with, we might say, practical theology. And as you read through James, sometimes you see an exhortation that seems disconnected from what has been said. And that's the case this morning with our text. James is introducing a new subject in James 1, verses 19, actually all the way down to verse 25. The subject is how a believer must relate to the Word of God. Yet it surely is not completely disconnected from what James has been talking about, the subject of trials, tests, temptations in the Christian life. That's what James has been preaching on. As our faith is tested, as we live out the Christian life in this vast arena of trials, we need to be steadfast in our faith. James says, don't blame God for your temptations, blame yourselves. James says, in fact, that God is perfectly good. All of our good comes from him, including his great gift to us of the new birth. But here's the point this morning. In living out that Christian life, in living out our struggles with temptation and testings, in our knowing more and more about how God works his grace into our lives, we need the Word of God. We need the Word of God. So, this is a new subject, but certainly related to what James has been talking about, the subject of our relationship with the Word of God. And James, in verses 19 all the way down to 25, we're only going down to 21 this morning, and I hope the next message I preach, which will not be next Sunday, but the Sunday after that, Lord willing, we'll go down to verse 25. We'll do 22 to 25. But what James is saying is, as believers, we must receive the Word, and we must obey the Word. And so the theme this morning in verses 19, 20, and 21 is the proper reception of God's Word. The proper reception of God's Word. Many, many years ago, I found myself teaching 4th, 5th, and 6th graders in a combined classroom setting. Many years ago. And one of the things I taught was to the 6th graders, I taught a separate 6th grade math class. And to this day, I can remember one particular student who frequently, during the math class, blurted out, after I taught a new math concept, he blurted out, "I don't get it. I don't get it." In fact, if I remember correctly, and I think I do, this "I don't get it" in math class became kind of automatic. He was saying, "I don't get it," before I even attempted to teach it to him. Before we even started, he was like, "I don't get it. I don't get it." This morning, and he didn't, by the way. But this morning, I want you to understand God wants you to get it when it comes to his word. He wants you to understand his word so you can know him more and more and more. He's given you, as believers, his spirit to be our internal teacher. However, that does not negate the important truth that to get it, you must receive it properly. We can't blurt out, "I don't get it." Instead of blurting out, "I don't get it," we must be crying out from our hearts, "Lord, help me to receive it properly. Help me, Lord, get it. Help me get it. Help me understand it. Help me know your word that I might know you." And so in these verses, that's what James is talking about. He's saying to believers, you have to receive properly the truth of God's word. Please understand, God has decisively, certainly, specifically, intentionally, purposefully given us, the church, his word. It is sufficient. And we, by God's grace, can know it, can understand it. And so James here gives us a six-part, in these three verses, a six-part exhortation concerning the serious spiritual work of receiving God's word. And so number one is this: properly receiving God's word requires us to understand the seriousness of hearing it. The seriousness of hearing it. Verse 19, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger." James begins with a very concise, attention-getting command. Know this. I think the NIV says, take note of this. It's like he's saying, hey, pay attention to what I'm about to say, which is just his way of saying what's coming is very important. And he also says, know this, my beloved brothers, which includes all believers. Brothers and sisters would be an acceptable translation here. Know this, my beloved brothers and sisters in Christ. And James here is not a drill sergeant barking out commands. So he puts that in there and makes sure you know that the person writing this to us, James, writing this to the churches, and now we have it today, he loved these fellow believers he was writing to. He's an under-shepherd seeking to help grow believers in the faith. And so immediately after, he says, let every person be quick to hear. I think the NIV gets the sense here when it translates, everyone should be. Here's what you ought to be, my brothers and sisters. And he connects three things together, distinct but connected: quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. And those three things can be thought of as very good things to practice in a general way. As I live my life, these are like proverbs, wise maxims to follow, generally speaking. Practicing this kind of humble disposition in all our life, being listeners, thinking before we speak, responding to people not with anger, These are good things that by the grace of God we should want to practice. But I don't think we can stop here and just say, well, these are just general things to practice. In the context, James has a particular application of these things. Based on verse 21, these things are necessary to properly receive God's word. And first on the list is quick to hear. Swift to hear, I think the King James says, and the NIV says quick to listen. Now, there's no doubt the quickness is referring to a time element, as quick as you can. But in the context here, it really is saying there's an urgency and a priority to listen. We must know that we need to continually be hearing the word of God, attentive, ready, prepared, still. James is saying something like, hurry up to listen. Now, in that day, believers would certainly get most of their scripture from the public worship service where it was read to them. As Paul said in 1 Timothy 4:13, Paul exhorted Timothy to continue in the reading, exhortation, and teaching. It was public reading, public exhortation, public teaching. But we remember Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And so the public reading and preaching and explaining that the scriptures encourage and admonish and command, that's not been replaced. It remains central as means of grace God uses to grow his saints. Hearing has a special relationship to discipleship. Disciples are people who hear, and in the Hebrew culture, hearing wasn't simply a physical thing. It was to hear under, listen under, submit yourself to the hearing. So James begins with a simple thing: be eager, ready, attentive listeners. Come to church to sit down. Be quick to hear. So the first thing we see is the proper receiving of God's word requires understanding the seriousness of hearing it. But then James goes on, and the second thing we see in verse 19 is when it comes to the truth, God's view is the only one that matters. God's view is the only one that matters. Be quick to hear. Be slow to speak. Slow. That's a time element word, a long period of time. If you put them together, James is saying, listen and delay speaking. Be hesitant to rush right in to speak. James is saying we must listen to God's word attentively and be quiet over that period of time, and even perhaps beyond that period of time. What James is addressing is our natural tendency to be opinionated. And along with that, it's not just I'm opinionated. I am. And I want my opinions to be heard. Listen up, everybody. Listen to what I think. Most people naturally reverse the very two things James is saying here. We're quick to speak, slow to hear. James is trying to prevent a great disaster. Thinking something like, okay, now I listen to the word of God. That's God's opinion. Now here's mine. Because God's opinion is really all that matters when it comes to the word of God. By the way, God doesn't really have an opinion. God is truth, and when he gives us something, it's true. The word is truth without error. Our job is to hear it, seek to understand it. Our job is not to change it, add to it, correct it, subtract from it, preside over it, detract from it in any way. I think a helpful way to give the sense of what James is saying here would be still, don't even think about speaking, and listen, because God is speaking. Listen in fear and awe to the word of God. And so, first of all, proper reception, we need to understand properly receiving God's word requires understanding the seriousness of hearing it. Secondly, when it comes to truth, God's view is the only one that matters. Number three, unrighteous anger is a serious detriment to listening, learning spiritually, to spiritual health. Unrighteous anger. So James says, be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Slow to wrath, the King James says. Slow to become angry, the NIV says. Now, this applies to everything. We should be, just in general, humble people who are slow to anger, to vent our wrath against others. But when we apply it to the listening of the word of God, the idea here is that we not become angry when faced with God's truth. Truth can rub human beings who are fallen the wrong way. Perhaps we don't like what it says about us. We don't like what it says maybe about human beings in general. Maybe it offends us, and James is saying, listen, listen, don't speak, don't get angry, let God communicate his truth to you. And maybe sometimes we're getting angry as we think about the sins of others or the evil that's in the world. But even then we must be careful because we're prone to a kind of self-righteous indignation. I remember hearing a powerful sermon about the tongue, about gossip and wrong use of the tongue and so on. James will later talk about that in his letter here. And he says the tongue is this dangerous member. We all stumble in many ways. And he says if the perfect person is able to bridle his tongue, and none of us are perfect. But I remember hearing this message, and afterwards, as I was talking to other people about the message, somebody came up to me and he said, and I was talking about the message, he said, well, yeah, I'm glad I don't have that problem with my tongue. See, the Word of God addresses the sins of others. We have to be careful about getting angry because why isn't everybody as good as I am, as righteous as I am? So we're prone to this kind of self-righteous indignation. I'm really upset about the sins of the world. Not mine, but everyone else's. An anger against wicked sinners that fails to see our own wicked sins. So we can't listen to the word of God in this carnal, fleshly way. So James points out something about our anger in verse 20. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. In verse 20 says, for the anger of men does not produce the righteousness of God. This is the path to spiritual growth is not to be angry. It's not the driving force of grace in our lives. It's not the primary driver of our pursuit of holiness. Unrighteous anger is a serious detriment to spiritual listening and spiritual health, because it keeps us from properly hearing what God is saying to us. Now, let me preach to me for a second, okay? On the preaching side of things, for the preacher, Unrighteous anger isn't the attitude God's messenger should have either. I'm familiar with some preachers who think that the best demeanor for the pulpit is to be mean-spirited. Seriously. Get up in the pulpit and just be angry at everybody. But Paul says in 2 Timothy 2, 24 and 25, the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth. And I've heard people counter that who think preachers should be mean-spirited and say, well, Jesus got angry with the self-righteous Pharisees, but of course Jesus was perfect. His anger didn't come from a sinful heart. So if you think you can exercise a perfect anger, well, go ahead. But I'd be very, very careful. Because James here recommends listening patiently and quietly. Listen. Consider. Seek to understand. Ask, what's God telling me? How am I to respond? Don't speak against it. Don't get mad. Listen. So number one, properly receiving God's word requires understanding the seriousness of hearing it. When it comes to truth, God's view is the only view that matters. Unrighteous anger is seriously detrimental to spiritual listening and spiritual health. Then number four, there are sinful distractions that must be put away before we can properly hear God's word. Verse 21. Therefore, he's kind of giving us a conclusion, what to do instead. Okay, I won't be quick to hear. I will be quick to hear. I'll be slow to speak. I'll be slow to anger. Therefore. So if you got that, then James goes on and says, now, instead of getting angry, speaking out, not listening, responding with your own opinions or anger, this is what to do instead. Put away, lay apart, the King James says, get rid of, the NIV says. And James is saying there's some things to ask God to help you put aside when you come to his word. Put away. A word that's often used, the Greek has the clothing imagery sense, removing a piece of clothing. Remove the things that really belong to the old self, the unregenerate self that you once were. Now, we must rely on God's Spirit to do this, but notice it's our responsibility. You put away. And he mentions two things, all filthiness and rampant wickedness. All filthiness, moral filth, I think the NIV says, moral uncleanness and impurity. Like taking off dirty clothes, take off that which is morally unclean. Rampant wickedness, evil that's prevalent, so prevalent, the NIV says. Superfluity of naughtiness, King James says. But it just means that the culture is evil. The culture is wicked. There's an abundance, a superabundance of this prevalent evil. Now, James says we have to put that away, put that off of us when we come to the Word of God. Don't let that distract us. Now, try and follow this, because it seems like backwards. For a second, they say, James, wait a minute now. It's God's Word that sanctifies us, God's Word that changes us, God's Word that grows us. But you're saying before we even come to the Word, we have to put off these things. What's going on here? Well, James is speaking pastorally and practically. He's not suggesting we can make ourselves righteous and then come to hear his word after you've made yourself righteous. He's saying when we come to worship, when we come to hear God's word, when we come to read it ourselves, study it privately, small groups, whenever we come to the word of God, James is saying you have to come prepared. Confess our sins. Ask God to clear our minds of worldly thoughts and sinful thoughts and any kind of unspiritual distractions. Put them away so that we can focus our attention on God. Come recognizing the word's transforming power. Come desiring to know God more. Come seeking to know and understand truth. Put aside all sinful distractions is what James is saying. And of course, we need God's help to do this. But put this away so that you can focus on the Word of God, is what James is saying. So, proper reception. Number one, there's a seriousness to hearing the Word of God, a great seriousness. Number two, God's view is the only and one that matters when it comes to truth. Number three, unrighteous anger will be a detriment to listening and spiritual health. Number four, we can be distracted, and some of those distractions are sinful distractions, worldly things in our hearts and minds. We must put them away. Then number five, in verse 21, James says we must be humble receivers. We must be humble receivers. Receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. Christian life is always based on humility. That's our posture. That ought to be our posture. And here, we're talking about a humble reception. We receive, and only then can we do in a dependent way. The receiving comes before the doing. So James not only tells us what to do negatively, put away these sinful distractions, but what to do positively, receive with meekness. The NIV says, humbly accept the implanted word. The word that has power to transform us. The word is living and powerful and implants itself deeply in our souls. And by God's grace and by God's Spirit, it is the Word of God that makes the difference. It changes us. Changes our thinking, our understanding. Moves to give us new desires. So here's the primary element, the key element in hearing the Word of God. Come to it meekly. Sit under it meekly. Humbly. Be still, be reverent, be respectful, be teachable is what James is saying here. Put away the filthiness, rampant wickedness, receive with meekness, be teachable. To be teachable, several things must be understood. I knew a gentleman, I believe he was a believer. He came up to me one time and said, I come to church Sunday morning because I know it's the right thing to do. But at that time in the church I was pastoring, we had Sunday night service. He said, I don't come Sunday night. I really don't need any more of the Word of God. I kind of know it already. To be teachable, number one, you have to understand none of us are even close to knowing all there is to know in the Word of God. To be teachable, you have to understand there's still much to know. And then number two, also understand some things we know, we might not know like we think we know. We may misunderstand. We may be wrong about some things. To be teachable, we need to be receptive, humbly sit under the Word of God. And then number three about being teachable is some things we know, but there's a lot more to know about them. There's more depth. We can go deeper in the truths of the Word of God. We can know them more richly, more fully. We should always desire to be growing, understanding we've never arrived. Why would any believer not want to receive more truth about God? We need to be humble receivers. Now, let me give you an example. This is a negative example, and it's kind of related to what James says here. It is related. about what not to do. Suppose you were listening to Jesus teach. Just imagine for a moment, you're back in the first century. Jesus is teaching. You're amongst the many who are listening to Christ teach. And he's teaching about prayer. And he's teaching about how gracious our Heavenly Father is to give his children good gifts. And Jesus says these words, and by the way, he did say these words in Matthew 7, 9 through 11. Which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts, good things to those who ask him? And you're sitting listening to that, and as this last sentence comes out, if you then who are evil, and the first thing you pipe up and say, I resent that. Who do you think you are calling me evil? But that's what he did. If you then who are evil. See, you weren't swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. But do you see the problem? By doing that, you actually missed the point of what he's teaching. Because what he was teaching is the Father's great goodness to give good gifts to his children. But you missed that. God desires to bless his children with answers to prayer. But if you dispute what he says, you're not being slow to speak, you're responding in anger. So the whole idea here of what James is saying is you must humbly receive. If you do not humbly receive, then you will arrogantly miss it. Okay. Last thing. Point number 6. For the believer, proper reception of God's word is not optional. Look what he says at the end of verse number 21. Put away filthiness, rampant wickedness, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. How important is all of this? It's able to save your souls. Oh, this is speaking to unbelievers. No. Verse number 19 says, know this, my beloved brothers. You say, well, yeah, but I'm already saved. Yeah, but see, the scriptures look at salvation as both a present possession and a future realization. It's very proper for us to say, yeah, I'm saved. I was saved such and such. I've been saved for so many years. But it's also proper for us to say, and I'm being saved. And it's also proper for us to say, and ultimately, I will be saved in the future. James is talking about the being saved. There's a sense in which, and I know this sounds kind of crazy, but there's a sense in which God is saving the saved. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Now, our salvation start to finish is completely secure, because it's secure because of Christ's death on the cross for our sins. Christ merits salvation, not us. And we know God assuredly keeps us, but he uses means in his keeping. And one of those means is the word of God. So James's point is this isn't an option. Receiving humbly the word of God is not an option. Practically speaking, James is saying that the word of God that delivered you already from the penalty of sin is now delivering you from the power of sin. It's sanctifying you, making you stronger in the faith, growing you, keeping you steadfast, preventing you from falling away, moving you in the direction of obedience and service. The Word of God is redemptive, transformative, powerful. It is the effective weapon against Satan and temptation. The Word of God is encouraging. The Word of God is a lot of things, but one thing it is not is optional for the Christian. It is not optional. So, say, what's James saying here in these verses? Well, he's saying the proper receiving of God's Word requires understanding the seriousness of hearing it. When it comes to truth, God's view is the only one that matters. Unrighteous anger is a detriment to spiritual health. There are sinful distractions that must be put away before we can properly hear God's Word. We must be humble receivers, and God's Word, receiving God's Word, is not an option. Receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. As believers, we know something about the grace of God, the enabling grace of God, the strength he gives us, the comfort, the encouragement. We know his mercies are new every day. He provides for us materially, provides for us physically. He gives us life itself. We receive the grace of God, and part of that is receiving the Word of God, whose very center is the gospel that saved our soul and continues to sanctify us through the Spirit of God. How we should desire to grow deeper in our understanding of Christ's gospel work. How we should desire to drink deeply from the well of God's Word, which is the very same thing as saying, let us drink deeply the living water that comes from Christ. Open my eyes, Lord, that I might behold wondrous things, that I might know Jesus, that I might know him more and more and more. Help me to grow in grace, grow in the knowledge of Christ. Help me to know truth and understand truth, to see your glory and greatness in your Word. Help me be receptive to your Word. And let me just say this morning. If you're an unbeliever, you must turn from your speaking and anger and opinions and sin, which are bringing you closer each day to hell, if you're an unbeliever, and you must turn to Jesus Christ for salvation. Your unforgiven sin separates you from a holy God. And Jesus came to die on the cross for sinners, paying an infinite price for sin on the cross, rising again from the dead in a glorious display of victory over sin and hell and Satan. And he alone can reconcile sinners to God so that they can know, worship, and enjoy him forever. So if you're unsaved, the call this morning, the plea this morning is that you would come by faith to Christ, because he saves all who will humbly receive him by faith. And if you're a believer, I pray that God would open your eyes to just how precious his Word is and how important it is that we receive it with meekness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know this is only the first part, and the next exhortation is that we be doers, not just hearers, but we have to start with the hearing, with the receiving, with the desire to know, with the desire to understand. We have to start with coming humbly. Help us come humbly, Lord, every day to your Word. Help us come humbly when we hear it preached and taught, or when other believers perhaps are sharing verses with us that have helped them. Help us be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Help us realize that we don't grow by getting angry, but we grow because the truth, your truth is wonderful, wondrous, glorious, amazing. Help us stand in awe of you and your truth, Father, we pray. Help us be humble receivers, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.